This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Syracuse University in upstate New York permanently expelled its campus Theta Tau fraternity after videos became public of the students yelling racial slurs and mocking people who are disabled. A video released days ago showed the mock sexual assault of a fraternity member pretending to be a person with an intellectual disability. The fraternity chapter said the skits that were recorded were satirical in nature, but the videos caused outrage across the country and students protested on Syracuse University's campus. Our next guest is here to talk about the controversy and what the future of fraternity life could look like on campuses across the country. Nolan Cabrera is an associate professor in the Center for the Study of Higher Education at the University of Arizona. Nolan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me back.
You've been watching, Nolan, issues like this over the years. What was your reaction when these videos came out?
I'm actually more surprised that people are surprised. I know that sounds kind of a little counterintuitive, but it's very predictable. Every year another thing comes up like this, and central administration treats it as a few bad apples issue. We saw that with the University of Oklahoma and the "There Will Never Be an N-Word in SAE" chant. And so it's a predictable response, either suspend, expel, give some sanctions to the students, and then just continue on as business as usual. And if you continue with business as usual, you're going to keep getting these results.
So these aren't, you feel like, isolated incidents. These are the isolated incidents that we hear about that come out and maybe just the tip of the iceberg?
Absolutely. I mean, I've spent the last decade talking to white male undergraduates as part of my research agenda, and they consistently tell me about some horrifically racist things that happen in their everyday life, and yet they just don't see it as a problem. Like, for example, 90% of the ones that I interviewed in the last round of research regularly either hear or use the N-word on a regular basis, and two-thirds don't think that there's anything wrong with it.
Is there something about fraternities that makes uniquely bad things happen, or are they just places out of the public eye where what everybody is thinking actually gets said out loud?
I think it's kind of a both and. I mean, they are extreme sites of social isolation in institutions of higher education. It makes sense that in a really perverse way that the young men at Syracuse University were making fun of handicapped people and Latinos and Jews, because you look around, those people were not physically present there. And so they continue to ask the question, they continue to frame it, well, this was a satire. But I keep coming back to the issue as, if this is a satire, it's supposed to be funny, or at least, and so if it's funnier for whom and at whose expense? And it seems to be funnier for white male, straight undergraduates, able-bodied undergraduates, at the expense of people who are not like them.
Now, in this particular case at Syracuse University, the administration there expelled the fraternity itself, basically shut it down. What do you think of their reaction?
It's a good but predictable start. So the real test of their willpower moving forward is, what are you actually going to do to address this issue on a more systemic level? When fully 30% of the students on your campus are associated with Greek life, and keep in mind that Greek life is one of the only areas in an institution of higher education where you can explicitly exclude people from participation. It's not coincidental that you have these really racially homogenous learning living environments, and then this is predictable. So then the question to central administration is, okay, good first step, what are you going to do next?
It is a unique institution at our institutions of higher learning, the fraternities and sororities. Do you see, is there a positive side that they could have on campuses?
I mean, there's always benefits that you can have from any organization. The difficulty that I've had is that, over the last 30 years, this is the site of the highest amount of code of conduct violations, and these issues keep coming up. And are they exclusively part of this the system, the Greek system? No, of course not. People make fun of disabled folk all the time. People make fun of Latinos all the time. But again, it stems from that social isolation. That if you don't have anyone with you know, I think they were trying to mock somebody with cerebral palsy. Or if you don't have anybody like that in your immediate vicinity, it's really easy to mock and make fun, because you're not making fun of a person, you're making fun of a concept, of an idea. And it's a lot more difficult and a lot more telling when you know, like if you really think something is funny, then you would do it to the in the presence of the person who you're actually critiquing, who you're actually satirizing.
How far back do these traditions, these things we might not want to see happening on campuses, how far back do they go at fraternities?
They're endemic. They're part of the social foundation of Greek life. Greek life was meant to, in many respects, establish kind of within higher education, already an elite institution, establish sort of an aristocracy within that. And then there's even, levels of prestige, differential levels of prestige associated with being in different ones. And the overall idea is that if you're necessarily trying to, close off your social circle and really, provide a space for the recreation of social privilege, that necessarily means that the core of what you were doing is the elimination of people who are, the exclusion of people who are not like you. And so that means, there's been systematic disqualification of Jews from Greek life, of low-income folks, of any racial minority, of handicapped folk, of any kind of a social identity that you can identify that doesn't fit sort of this model social norm. It's been there from the beginning.
With this Syracuse case in particular, again, the national group, the national organization of this fraternity condemned this chapter's behavior at Syracuse. Do you think that the overall national organizations of fraternities are sending a strong enough message about the behavior of their local chapters?
Absolutely not, especially because there's always an implicit message sent to central administration that we as fraternity and Greek letter organization alumni, that we represent one of the strongest alumni bases in terms of fundraising. So go ahead and crack down on these guys as an isolated incident, but don't you dare. I mean, the message that central administration folk frequently receive is, don't you dare mess with our traditions. We'll treat this as the few bad apples, but don't you dare mess with our fraternity, or you may suffer the consequences of a lack of funding going into next year.
As you mentioned earlier, part of your research has been talking to young men in college who are part of these fraternities. How much of this do they bring in with them from their own background? How much of this is passed on to them, this racist and other behavior, is passed on from the fraternity, those traditions that they're joining into?
Oh, it's definitely a combination of both. I don't want to say that, it's only in fraternities that these young men learn to be racist or sexist or homophobic. But it is a situation where it gets enhanced, where the messaging they receive frequently is that this kind of behavior is absolutely acceptable, that it's okay. And again, a lot of it stems from that social isolation. Like when I talk to white men, in addition to using the N-word, they tell racist jokes on a very regular basis. But then I ask them, who do you tell it in front of? And almost exclusively it's in front of their white male peers. I say, well, why don't you tell it in front of, if you're making a joke about black guys, why don't you tell it in front of black people? And they're like, well, no, they would take it out of context. They're overly sensitive. And never is it a situation where, oh, wow, I might be being a little racist here. And so it's one of those things that it becomes this echo chamber of, we're not racist. We don't hate people of color. We don't hate disabled people. We don't hate Jewish people. And so any of our actions are a joke, a satire. In many respects, that's how it gets brushed off. It's like, oh, come on, man, why are you so sensitive? It's just a joke.
Now, these students, as you mentioned, they're in an elite institution, going to a university. They're in, theoretically, an elite group within that as a member of a fraternity. This was an engineering fraternity at Syracuse, for example. People in fraternities, when they're pitching their organization to new members, they go on to do big things in government, business, uh-huh, things like that. What do you worry about if this is going on there and then these people are, in fact, going on to do bigger and better things?
I mean, it's a natural extension of the workplace that, you still, if you become the big boss, you have a lot of leverage in terms of who you want to hire and bring into your inner circle. These are explicitly seen as mechanisms of social networking. And if that's who's in your social network, then you're going to end up, it's not coincidental that you keep seeing at Fortune 500 companies this kind of a lack of diversity, racially hostile climates, Silicon Valley, the tech bros, again, it's not saying that there's a one-to-one correlation of, I did this in college, so it's going to happen in my job, but it's definitely not coincidental that when people are, trying to strive for more elite social status and they're getting people who are explicitly like them, that a lot of these problems will continue to persist in the workplace as well.
Are many people having a fundamental conversation about maybe some of what you see as basic fundamental problems, or is this going to be a case where we're surprised at this video, we were surprised at the Oklahoma video, we're going to be surprised at who knows where's video next year?
I fully expect that if you think that this segment goes well right now, that in 16 months time you'll be calling me again and there'll be another outrage and another incident that goes viral because someone was videotaping. The larger structural issues are a lot more difficult to address, to deal with, and you get actually a lot of pushback from that. If institutions of higher education really want to try to tackle the race problem, there's a lot of flack that they get from that, and so it's very predictable that sort of tie this one off, don't deal with the underlying structural issues. And, hey, we'll have a conversation in a few months when the next incident comes up.
We'll leave it there for now. Nolan, thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That's Nolan Cabrera, associate professor in the Center for the Study of Higher Education at the University of Arizona. He joins us today to talk about the recent videos from a Syracuse University fraternity, which showed members mocking people with disabilities, students yelling about hating various minority groups, and what he says are fundamental problems with fraternity life on American campuses.